Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the Saturday of the fifth week of the Holy Great Fast, and tomorrow's gospel will be about the paralytic man who was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, and then the Lord met him and he healed them there. This account is actually about the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. It was only mentioned in the Gospel of St. John in chapter 5. And this was actually the first time in the Gospel of John where the people publicly displayed their displeasure with the Lord and wanted they publicly said that we don't like him and we're going to go after him. This is the first time. In the Gospel of today that we read from Matthew, this was the last time the Lord preached to the people in the temple publicly. So we hear in the two Gospels between today and tomorrow, tomorrow's Gospel is the beginning of the people rejecting Christ. And then today's Gospel is the last time he tried to get them to repent. And from the beginning until the end, there was one group of people that the Lord could not penetrate. Who were they? The Pharisees. Yes, it was the Pharisees. This is why today he directs his last speech or his last sermon towards the Pharisees. And it was a tough one. He says, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and what? And hypocrites." If we think of the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, who was there for 38 years, the Lord went to him and he had compassion on his situation being there for 38 years and he wanted to heal him. But he asked him a question, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man answered and said, "I hope no one to put me into the water when the water is stirred." Then the Lord simply responded, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And he healed him. So just as he wanted to heal the paralytic man or those who had physical ailments, he wanted to heal the spiritual ailment of the Pharisees, which was hypocrisy. But in this sermon that we heard today, he gave many things that are like we should be warned about. Or he warned the Pharisees about their hypocrisy. So I'd mention just a few points about the hypocritical tendencies. What are the tendencies of the person who is a hypocrite? First of all, what is a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? Some people believe that hypocrisy is somebody speaking something but living something else. This is partially what a hypocrite is, but this is not always the case. Just as perhaps in Sunday school or even in church, Abuna himself, we speak about things as the standard. But I myself am struggling to do these things. And I myself have my sins and I'm struggling just like the rest of you, right? So this is not hypocrisy because I recognize my sin and my weakness and I'm struggling to make it better. The hypocrite is almost like an actor, you know, an actor. If any of us acted like in a play or whatever, وَعَمَ النَّفْسِنَا كَدَدُورَ كَدُكْتُورَ, right? And I'm just a student. But I play in the play as if I'm a physician. In the play and everything, people treat me and everything and such as that, as if I'm a physician. But when the play is over, is anybody going to come to me for healing? No, I'm just a student. I don't know anything, right? So the hypocrite is somebody who's بَيْمَسِّلْ, right? Who's just acting. Who acts to be as if they're good and righteous and holy, but they have really no intent of making anything better. It's just a for show. So he wants to warn us, and as he wanted to warn the Pharisees about hypocrisy, beware of hypocrisy. And I'll mention just three, you know, warnings that the Lord wanted to share with us today about being hypocrites. There are three things. Number one is the hypocrite highly values the opinion of others. I'm concerned about what people think and say of me, and this is perhaps of the highest value, more than what God even thinks of me. Because I live in a community, I want the people always to look and honor me. This is why in John chapter 12, the Lord said, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him," being the Lord Jesus, "but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So even at the Lord Jesus' time, there are people who were in high places in the Jewish community that believed in Christ. But it said because of the fear of the Pharisees that they might be put out of the synagogue, they didn't confess him. Right? They didn't follow him. Why? because they were more concerned about what the people around me said, or more, maybe we can rephrase and says, I was more concerned about the approval of the people than the approval of God Himself. And I'll tell you this, this thing is not just something of the past, but actually now it's expounded with the role of social media in everybody's life, right? What it makes social media thrive is the idea of the likes and the dislikes, this feedback of dopamine, making people feel good about themselves. So people put stuff online, pictures of themselves, record videos, all to get people's affirmation. So this puts in us that I'm more concerned about what people think of me than what God thinks of me. They'll be more likely to spend time creating something to be posted online to get people to like them more than to stand up and to pray, more than to open the Bible and read something small in the Bible, right? So we must be careful. The hypocrite is one who is highly concerned with the opinions of others. Number two is the numbing of the conscience. Sometimes when we make this play or we make this act, our conscience rebukes us. So if I pretend like I'm somebody who's holy and godly and do everything nicely in church, but then when I go home or somewhere else, I'm a completely different person. When I'm that completely different person, my conscience will rebuke me. Or when I'm coming pretending like I'm a godly and holy person, my conscience will rebuke me. So what is the result? They would just numb the conscience. As if the conscience is the greater of the two. My goal here is to numb the conscience, make myself feel good, not about the sin that I'm committing against God, right? So the conscience becomes my God, and all I want to do is drug it and make it feel good. And again, this is something that, you know, the society is teaching us. Do whatever makes you feel good, right? Numb the conscience. Even to the point of denying truth itself. Just أهم حاجة إيه؟ أنت تكون مرتاح. That you're comforted. That you feel good. Right? This is exactly like going to a physician and you have these symptoms, but behind these symptoms are something greater. For example, I have maybe pain in my chest. The doctor says, you have some pain, take some Motrin, take some Tylenol, and I'll see you, you know, in a month or two. What is he doing here? He's just treating the symptom of pain by giving him a painkiller. But the good doctor will say, you know what, this could be signs of something else, like a heart attack. Let me do some more evaluation and check. So they're going to treat the underlying cause, not just the symptoms, right? When we try to numb the conscience, this is just treating a symptom. But it's not treating the underlying cause. The conscience will continue to nag, to nag, to nag. And ultimately, this drives a person, it can drive them crazy, or it can drive them mad. So what are some examples of us perhaps numbing the conscience? Some people might say, you know, I did so-and-so sin, or I like this this particular sin. So in front of this sin, I will do like 10 matanyas, or I will pray 10 psalms in the Igbeya. Why? To balance things out, you know? Okay, God, I'm going to commit this sin. So in front of this, every time I curse or I will swear or I look at something bad, I'm just in front of it, I'm going to do 10 psalms. So this makes me feel good. Okay, I did something against God, now let me do something to make God feel better. As if he's, you know, feels better or not better by what we do. God is the same. He's full of love regardless of what we do for Him. We have to be careful not to numb the conscience. Some people may say, okay, well, I listen to a lot of sermons. I go to church a lot, so this must make me a good person. No, this makes you a person who's struggling, trying to do good things, but it doesn't make me, you know, a good person. Yes, it will certainly help, but I can't say because I do these things that I'm good. And then, you know, when I go home or whatever, you know, I'm filled with rage and anger and I post things online that are inappropriate and slander people. It can't be the two together. In a few weeks, we're going to enter into the Bascha week, right? And we will be in church with every step of the Lord Jesus throughout this blessed week. But you'll find even during this week, when we're consumed with the life of Christ, that when I go home, it's something completely different, or it can be something completely different, right? Again, being the same person, be true. Don't be the actor. Be true to yourself. The last warning of the hypocritical tendency is that they do things to gain the admiration and praise of others. So the things that I do, I want people to notice them. This is what the Lord rebuked not only the Pharisees, but us as well, when He taught us about doing charitable deeds. When I'm serving, either in the church or others, or doing something for someone. Look what He tells us. He says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So they're doing things simply to be seen. Blessed is the person who is able to serve without being seen. And if I'm in a role where I must be seen, for example, like a Sunday school servant or a deacon or a priest or whatever, in a role that I must be seen, there must be some kind of other service that I do that is not seen. And it can be as simple as I spend some time praying in my room, in my inner room, for example, my Sunday school kids. Yes, everybody will see me come and serving in front of them, having nice decorations and all these different activities in Sunday school. But what is going to be your hidden service? What's going to be the thing that's not seen? And if there's something that's not seen and everything that I do is being seen, we have to be careful of this hypocrisy. Am I doing things to be noticed and admired and appreciated and praised by people? Or am I doing them for my love for God? And I can do something in secret even if I'm not praised for it. Next Friday of the sixth week, we'll read the story of Tobit. Tobit, you know, was a very generous man. And he did a service that he couldn't even get a thank you from. Arif Amale, you know what he did? He used to take the people who were dead, that the king would, that they would die in the street, the Jews who were with him, that they would die. And the king ordered that they remain in the street to be devoured by the animals. And he felt bad. So what did he do? At night, risking his life, went, took the bodies of these dead Jews and buried them in his, you know, own land. And what does he get for this? Nothing, right? Even the person who he's serving couldn't even say thank you, right? He did it at night, no one else saw it. He used his own money, no one else saw it. But why was he doing this? For his love, for his people, and for his God, right? Beware of hypocrisy. To God be the glory forever. Amen.